What is up? Welcome back to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com here, week 7. Kicking off tonight, Thursday, October 17th, in a game that, look, unless you're a fan of these two teams or you have something riding on this game, fantasy, betting, DFS, what have you, you might not be watching it. It's playoff baseball, there's other stuff on. Broncos against whatever the hell is left of the Saints. That's the game that kicks off week 7. And this is the week 7 game-by-game preview episode of the podcast, where we go in-depth every game on the slate, talking about what stands out, who the best plays are, who to maybe avoid, helping you set those lineups for fantasy football. As you can tell, clearly still under the weather. It's been like 2 weeks now, just on and off. Maybe it might have started as allergies and then it became a cold, but fighting through it, so bear with me. Apologies for the voice, but we continue to roll on. Podcast, once again, as always, brought to you by the fine people over at Circa. Week 7 already. There's been some crazy games. If you're playing the contests, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, it's been crazy. I mean, 5 picks against the spread each week. Sounds easy. It's not. Circa, though, the largest pro football contest in Vegas. To check it out, go to circasports.com for the details. Or obviously, if you are in Vegas, you can check it out yourself live and in person. We appreciate you, Circa. Of course, also check out ftnfantasy.com. Content, tools, articles, rankings. Rankings being updated every single day by myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Jeremy Popolars, Chris Meany, Scott Spratt, Mike Randall. The Advanced Stats Data Hub, which I reference all the time in this podcast. Access to Discord. A lot of fun conversations there. So, don't miss out. And basketball starting, which I'm going to be doing a lot more basketball stuff this year, so I'm excited about that. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to sign up at FTNFantasy.com. All right, let's get into it. Saints at home against the Broncos. Sean Payton returns. At least that's a pretty cool storyline. But yeah, I mean, this is not ideal. I mean, the Saints, without Chris Olave, without Derek Carr still, looks like they'll be without Rashid Shaheed maybe for the rest of the season, perhaps. Taysom Hill's doubtful. The O-line's still banged up. So this game is very easy, right? You're starting Alvin Kamara. The volume's been great. And we saw last week, Spencer Rattler, first career start against Todd Bowles and the blitz-heavy Tampa Bay defense. He checked the ball down, according to the Advanced Stats Hub, 28.6% of the time when blitzed last week. And now he faces the Broncos, who blitz at a top five rate as well in the NFL. So between that, between Olave and Shaheed being out, like, I don't know what the yardage will look like, but Kamara should have 7-8 targets at minimum in this game, you would think. Otherwise, the ball is probably going to Bub Means. I'm sure he and Rattler have, you know, practiced together a lot in training camp and stuff like that. But he came in, Olave left after the first drive, like 2 plays into the game. Bub Means caught 5 passes for 45 yards and a touchdown. He played out wide about 68% of the time, which normally you wouldn't like against the Broncos because of Pat Surtain. But he's probably not playing in this game either. He's got a concussion. Riley Moss, he's a good player too. I'm not saying you start Bub Means, but if you're really desperate, if you are in a 14-team league, really deep league, or you have, I'm trying to think, CeeDee Lamb's on a bye and DJ Moore's on a bye, maybe you have both those players on the same team. Maybe you lost Collins. Maybe those are, you know, I don't know if you can have all 3 of those guys, but you get what I'm saying. If you're really desperate, Bub Means would be the wide receiver to play from the Saints. And that's it. Like, I was somewhat interested in maybe streaming Taysom Hill at tight end if he played, because just everybody's out. They'd have to kind of give him like 7-8 touches in some way, but he's probably not playing. So it's really Kamara, maybe Juwan Johnson, and maybe Bub Means. That's where we're at. This is one of those Thursday games where it's like, maybe I'll go hang out with the family for once on Thursday. For the Broncos side of things, not much else here. It's not much better, right? Like, Courtland Sutton's continuing to be on that wide receiver three territory. Scored an impressive touchdown last week. Tough matchup against Lattimore, and just his floor is pretty low, and the ceiling's not that high because this offense just doesn't throw for a lot of yards. This game's going to be slow-paced, a lot of running the football. I mean, like, it's actually kind of a good matchup for the running backs because the Saints' run defense has been really bad lately. Over the last 3 weeks, the Saints, 5.7 yards per carry is second worst. 2.9 yards before contact per attempt is fourth worst. And they're only stuffing runs 13.5% of the time at or behind line of scrimmage. That's also the fourth lowest rate in the NFL during that span. The problem is, like, okay, do you still really want to play Javonte? Like, he fumbled again last week. Occasionally loses touchdowns to Jaleel McLaughlin. Bo Nix is running for a lot of touchdowns in close. And maybe they get more involvement from Audric Estime. So, like, Javonte is, like, a really low-end flex. He's getting targets, at least. You know, he's getting, like, you know, 4 or 5 targets a lot of these games. So you have that, but there's not a lot here. There's really not. Let's move on. Second straight week with Jacksonville in London. They will stay there. They host, quote-unquote, the Patriots this time. This game's pretty interesting. Drake May got the start at quarterback last week. I thought it was a mixed bag, but he gave this offense way more juice than they had, right? And I think Drake May's on the radar as a possible streaming option as long as he's good to go. Apparently underwent an MRI on Wednesday. Hopefully it's just precautionary and he's fine. If he's out there, though, like, you can make the case you start Drake May over somebody like Patrick Mahomes. Sounds crazy, but, like, Mahomes just, he's not even scoring 20 fantasy points for you. Drake May had a top 10 scoring week in his first career start. Gives you some mobility. He ran for almost 40 yards. And, I mean, he's got Jacksonville. Just, they're just so bad. Most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. We saw what Caleb Williams did to them. They're, like, bottom 5 in yards, plays, points per drive allowed. So, we'll keep an eye on his status, but if he's good to go, he's going to be, like, a top 15 quarterback for me, maybe even slightly higher. Yeah. With that, Pop Douglas, I like a lot in this game. 9 targets last game, caught 6 passes for 92 yards and a touchdown. He has 9 targets in back-to-back games, and he had a 29% target share from Drake May in his first career start. Jacksonville, this season, they're allowing the 6th most catches per game to the slot. Douglas playing in the slot about 78% of the time. So I like Pop Douglas a lot as a flex play this week. He's the guy consistently getting open for this offense right now. And the offense as a whole is better with Drake May. Also in the streaming discussion at tight end is Hunter Henry. He scored last week. He currently leads the Patriots with an 18.1% target share against man coverage on the year. That's notable because Jacksonville plays pretty much more man coverage than anybody. We saw them just allow 2 touchdowns to Cole Kmet last week. So good matchup for Hunter Henry. And the backfield's kind of a wait and see still. Ramondre didn't play last week. Not practicing to start the week this time around. Antonio Gibson last week played just 48% of the snaps, but it was a blowout. He did dominate the early downs. Had 16 of the 25 running back touches. Jacksonville is definitely a much better matchup than the Texans, so he'd be a viable flex play as well if Stevenson's once again ruled out. And I would expect a higher snap share in a closer game that probably goes, you know, back and forth to an extent. For Jacksonville, well, let's keep an eye on this backfield too, because Travis Etienne, going into last week, had the shoulder issue, ends up playing but was limited to start the game. Then he hurts his hamstring, which only lets him play 1 snap in the second half. He was limited in practice. They originally listed him as week to week, but maybe he plays. If he doesn't, Tank Bigsby's a great play. I know the snaps and involvement last week weren't great, but it was a blowout, and we know D'Ernest Johnson was going to play on passing downs over him, so Tank only played a little bit. D'Ernest played a season-high 56% of snaps, but this game should be more competitive, closer from, you know, throughout, and the Patriots just allowed 178 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns to Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce last week. And Tank Bigsby still leads the NFL with a 43.9% avoided tackle rate and 5.9 yards after contact per attempt. Oh, by the way, the Patriots allowing 2.7 yards after contact per attempt this year on the ground, sixth worst in the NFL. In terms of pass catchers, Evan Engram must start. 10 targets in his first game back. Wasn't limited in terms of his route participation, anything like that. So that was great to see. Brian Thomas is on the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 borderline. Tough matchup again this time around with Christian Gonzalez, but his explosive plays are there. And Christian Kirk's low ceiling wide receiver 3. Definitely hurts his overall floor and ceiling combination with Evan Engram back. All right, let's keep moving on to the Titans at the Buffalo Bills. And it was a good Monday to Tuesday kind of transition for Bills fans, right? Huge win on the road against division rival Jets. Then the trade, Amari Cooper. We'll talk about the Bills offense and Amari Cooper, how he fits in shortly. But let's get to Tennessee first because it's a lot easier. Probably not going to see Tajay Spears in this game. Hamstring. He's week to week. Didn't practice on Wednesday. Tony Pollard's a must-start player. He was borderline must-start anyway, especially in this matchup. You look at Pollard this season, he's been great. They did kind of, I saw in the early parts of that game last week, they did mix in Tajay Spears a little bit more earlier in that game. But then he missed the entire second half, which led to Pollard playing 90-plus percent of the snaps in the second half. He played more of the passing downs, obviously. Like, weeks 1-5, Tony Pollard played about 58% of third downs and 48% of the two-minute drill. But, like, that's going to be exclusively his, assuming Tajay Spears is out. So that means, okay, yes, the Titans are, I think, 8.5-point road dogs, which you don't love for running backs. But if Tajay Spears isn't active, Pollard's going to be game script independent. And the matchup's still good because the Bills' run defense is still bad. Second most fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. 3.2 yards before contact per attempt. Most in the NFL. So, Tony Pollard, must-start player. Probably the only player you really want to start in the Titans. Will Levis has just been so bad. Calvin Ridley's pissed off. 0 catches on 8 targets last week. Talked about how he needs to get the ball earlier in the game. Brian Callahan later on talked about how they have to get him more involved. So it's a second straight week where they said that. Ridley is 7th in the NFL with 3.8 air yards per out run. His 26.8% catchable air yard percentage is 4th worst in the NFL. But, like, you couldn't do it against the Colts. I don't know how he's going to do it against Buffalo. They've been allowing a little bit more explosive plays lately, but they're still a team that plays a lot of cover 2. They have 2 really good perimeter defensive backs in Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. I don't want to start anybody in the passing game. Now, let's get to Buffalo. For starters, James Cook, estimated as limited in Wednesday's walkthrough. He was apparently close to playing last week. I'm cautiously optimistic that he plays. Is it a full workload? We'll see. I know everybody's excited about Ray Davis. And we have to stop doing this when a backup running back starts for somebody that's hurt and plays well, and then all of a sudden it's backup running back should be the start. He should take that guy's job. It's like, as a Bills fan, do I think Ray Davis earned more playing time after Monday? Yes. But James Cook is still the starting running back for the Buffalo Bills. Maybe it gets to a point where it's like, because James Cook doesn't project to be like a 25-touch running back anyway. So maybe this becomes like Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon-esque, where Jimbo gets like 15 to 17 touches, and Davis gets like the A.J. Dillon role, 7-8 touches. That'd be great, because Ray Davis did look good. He does fit Buffalo's power man duo scheme really well. Now, the matchup this week is terrible. Tennessee's run defense is unbelievable. Really, really good. They are stuffing carries like 30% of the time. It's the highest rate in the NFL. Their defense has just been great. Having said that, if James Cook is out, with the usage we saw from Ray Davis, and I did not expect it to be to that capacity. I thought it would be like 55-45, actually in favor of Ty Johnson. So I was completely wrong. But with that usage as a home favorite on this Bills offense, with the way that offensive line is creating massive running lanes, you're starting Ray Davis if James Cook's out. And if James Cook is back, I'm starting James Cook. But definitely don't drop Ray Davis, because now we have that sample of him being, you know, what do you have, 23 touches? So, and we know this team wants to run the football. Josh Allen, he was great last week. It's good to see after back-to-back rough performances. You're starting him. Matchup's bad, but it's Josh Allen. And now he has Amari Cooper, who there's been talks about whether he plays this week or not. For me, I would probably try to get away from Amari Cooper this week, even if he does play. It might be a situation where they have him in certain packages. Amari Cooper is like unbelievably smart. So I'm not doubting him being able to pick up this offense in 4 or 5 days and play. But Brandon Bean sounded kind of hesitant about Cooper being able to be full go this week. So I would try to avoid Cooper this week. Matchup's not great either. But going forward, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Cooper in this offense. Obviously, it's a massive upgrade. He was like top five or bottom five, however you want to look at, in percentage of air yards that were deemed catchable. He has had some bad drops this season, but I feel like he was just also at the same time kind of checked out playing for that team. And now he has Josh Allen. I tweeted this, and I fully believe it. As a Bills fan, I am very, very, very excited about Amari Cooper. The defenses were just playing man coverage, blitzing, and spying Josh Allen and saying, you know what? We don't think that these outside receivers can win their matchups, so we can bring a safety down. We can blitz a safety. We can spy with a safety, stay in man-to-man coverage throughout, and feel pretty good about it. Amari Cooper will not let that happen anymore. So he's going to open up things for Josh Allen. I think very underrated thing about this, Amari Cooper being in this offense is actually going to lead to more rushing yards from Josh Allen because of that. That's my most underrated aspect of this move. But for fantasy, if somebody's out there in your league that's like absolutely in love with the prospects of Amari Cooper playing in Buffalo and catching passes from Josh Allen, I would entertain selling high. Because this offensive identity is not changing. It's still going to be a top five offense in terms of rushing. They play slow. And we saw Stephon Diggs in this Joe Brady offense down the stretch last year was like somebody you probably didn't even want to start. I don't think it's going to be that level. Like, I think Amari Cooper is going to be like a top 25 wide receiver. But he's not going to be like top 15 in my opinion. But having said that, for this week, I would try to avoid. We'll see, though, practice reports throughout the week if he plays, how much he might play. Khalil Shakir, practicing in full on Wednesday. He only played about 38% of snaps last week with the ankle. He would be a flex borderline. He'd be a wide receiver three if Cooper's out. A risky flex with a middling ceiling at best if Cooper's in or limited in any capacity. And then Dalton Kincaid also limited with a collarbone. Doesn't seem to be anything too serious. He's still a low-end tight end one going forward. And yeah, Keon Coleman, you can probably drop him. Keep him in dynasty leagues, obviously, but redraft, you can probably drop him. All right, we'll take a break on that note. First break of the episode. When we come back, more games, a ton more games, going to talk about Houston. And there's so many games this week that are amazing. Houston, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, San Fran, Kansas City. This is going to be such a fun slate of games in the NFL, and we'll continue to break all of them down from a fantasy football perspective when we come back. Really, really fun quarterback matchup here. Packers at home against the Houston Texans. Stroud, Love. Should be a good one. Let's start with the Texans. First game without Nico Collins, and we saw Tank Dell finally produce. 35.7% first read target share, according to FTN data, for Tank Dell in that game. Way, way up from his season average over the course of the first 5-6 weeks. He was productive. He scored. He's probably a top 25 wide receiver until Collins is back. The Texans also ran 12 personnel, two tight end sets, about 10% more often. So that just leads to more condensed targets for Dell. Obviously, Stephon Diggs, who's a must-start player. And tight end Dalton Schultz, who didn't have a huge stat line, but still played 86% of snaps, ran a route on 86% of dropbacks, and he has a good matchup here. Green Bay allowing the second most fantasy points per game at 13.9, the fourth most targets at 8.0, and the sixth most receiving yards at 56.8 per game to opposing tight ends this season. So I like Dalton Schultz as a low-end tight end one. You're starting Diggs, you're starting Dell, and Joe Mixon returned last week. He was, his snaps were down a little bit because, maybe a little bit, obviously because it was his first game back from the ankle, but also the game was out of hand. But he dominated the touches. Like, the first two drives, I think he had every touch. Two touchdowns. He's looked good when he's been healthy. So, you're starting him, obviously. Green Bay's run defense is one you can definitely attack. And you're starting C.J. Stroud as well, who played awesome last week. For Green Bay, the receivers continue to be a little bit banged up. Jaden Reed left last week's game, but I do think he returned. He's fine. Christian Watson did return. Saw an uptick in snaps and routes because Dontavion Wicks left the game. Watson caught a long touchdown pass. Romeo Doubs came back from the one-game suspension, caught two touchdown passes. And Dontavion Wicks was originally listed as week-to-week, but he was limited in practice on Wednesday as well. So if Wicks is out, Watson and Doubs are both viable upside, but not exactly massive floor wide receiver three plays. If Wicks is in, like, you're starting Jaden Reed no matter what, and then if Wicks is good to go, good luck projecting the rest of the Green Bay wide receivers. And Tucker Kraft is still kind of in that Dalton Schultz range. You know, tight end, anywhere between like tight end 8 to 13, something like that. This game's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Listen, in my most important league, one of my two most important leagues this week, not only do I face A.J. Brown, but I face Saquon Barkley in his first game against the Giants. I am terrified. Barkley, obviously, revenge game aside, must-start player, obviously. 18% of the runs against the Giants this season have gained 10-plus yards. That's the highest rate in the NFL this season. Barkley's like usage in the passing game has not been great in the two games where they've had A.J. Brown and Smitty, but he's still averaging 21 touches per game. You have to think, you know, there's always the, oh, they're at the one-yard line. Is it tush-push time? This feels like a game where they say, you know what, Saquon, here's one for you. Start Barkley. Start A.J. Brown, who returns last week and goes off. 6 catches, 116, a touchdown. 2 games this season for A.J. Brown. 36% target share, 52.7% of the air yards. Just elite alpha type usage from A.J. Brown. Giants play a lot of cover one. They're 6th in the NFL in dropbacks in cover one this season. A.J. Brown last season, 33.5% target share against cover one. 4.2 yards per out run against the defense was 2nd best in the NFL. Again, can you see why I'm scared to face those two players this week? A.J. Brown, just, you know, there's a case. If you want to put him as wide receiver one rest of the season, I really wouldn't think it's crazy. Devonta Smith, he's now played 2 games with A.J. Brown. In those games, 22% target share, which is fine. 76.5% slot rate. He moved way back into the slot with A.J. Brown back. He also gets a potential bump if Dallas Goedert's out. Goedert left early last week, didn't return. He might not play this week. Dallas Goedert, since 2022, has played 8 games. Has missed 8 games. In those games, Devonta Smith is averaging 8.6 targets, 90 receiving yards, and just under 18 PPR points per game. So, yeah, Smitty, great play. Feel a little bit better about him, honestly, if Goddard's out. Grant Calcaterra had a decent day. He played like a full-time role, so like a desperate streaming option at tight end. But this offense will continue to go through these two receivers. And then obviously Jalen Hurts, still not playing unbelievably well, but you're not benching Jalen Hurts, especially in this spot. The only thing I will say is, like, if the Giants pass rush is healthy, Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns didn't practice Wednesday. Dexter Lawrence said it's just rest. I would assume something along the same lines for Brian Burns. Like, Eagles just lost Jordan Mailata. It's a little concerning. The Giants have the best pass rush in the league right now, lead the NFL in sacks, so just something to keep an eye on there. Giants also lost Andrew Thomas, which is the one player they couldn't afford to lose. He's the best player on the team, and now he's out. So that's brutal for Daniel Jones and the run game, too. We'll have to keep an eye on the Giants. I think Malik probably returns. If he does, you start him. Wandale is like a top 35 PPR wide receiver, excuse me. And the backfield. Tyrone Tracy's been really good the last 2 weeks. And he played like 83% of the snaps on Monday night. Really just dominated, took over the role. Eric Gray barely played. I've seen a lot of talk about Tyrone Tracy should get like 70% of the work and Singletary should be the backup. First of all, once again, people just continue to underrate Devin Singletary. Second of all, it's Brian Daboll's guy. It's not happening. Third of all, outside of the Dallas game, Singletary's been good this year. Fourth of all, I do think it's going to be more of a 60-40 type situation because I think Tracy and Singletary actually complement each other really well. Singletary has the good vision, has the good elusive ability, but not going to hit the home runs, not very fast, not the most explosive player, and not the most productive pass catcher. Tracy, on the other hand, gives you that, gives you the explosive playability, gives you the pass catching. So I think they complement each other really well. If Singletary's out again, Tracy's a borderline must-start player, especially after the usage we just saw from him, the catching, everything like that. So still kind of waiting and seeing on the Giants. But yeah, if Singletary's out again, you start Tracy pretty easily. Colts, Dolphins. This game's pretty easy as well. Tyreek Hill is still somebody I want to start. He's got like a 30% target share the past couple games. He had the bye week to get more practice reps with Tyler Huntley. He's been close to splash plays down the field, and the Colts are just so bad. Like, they allow a ton of explosive pass plays, ton of 100-yard games to wide receivers. Defense is banged up. Even without Tua, this could be a good spot for the Miami offense. So I'm starting Tyreek Hill still. Devon Achane looks like he's probably going to play. So with how much Miami's been running the ball since Tua's been out, Achane, he's a top 15-ish running back. Mostert, I think you can flex too, just based off how much they are running the football. And then Waddle probably would still try to get away from him just because, again, he doesn't see those scheme touches that Tyreek Hill has, which he's more reliant on quarterback play than even Tyreek is right now. So if you really are in a pinch, this would be the week I would at least, you know, be okay taking a shot on Waddle because of the matchup, but you still don't feel great about it. For the Colts, Anthony Richardson fully expects to practice, and he should start this week, so he will return. Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, they've been great with Joe Flacco, so maybe this is a bump for them, or a bump down, I should say, for them. I still think Downs is a solid wide receiver 3. Pittman's in that range too. I'm just worried Pittman's going to get like one hit, and because this back injury apparently was going to put him on potentially on IR, and now he's playing through it. So that's always still kind of in the back of my mind with Michael Pittman right now. And then the backfield, I don't know. Taylor is still missing practice. He says he might be able to return this week. We'll see. We'll get a better idea Thursday and Friday. If he's back, you start him, obviously. Trey Sermon's banged up now. Tyler Goodson's been more productive and efficient than him anyway. So Tyler Goodson might be in our lives as a flex play this week if Sermon and Taylor are both out. So we will keep tabs on that. All right, let's keep moving on. Maybe the game I'm most excited about this week. Detroit at Minnesota. This is going to be fun. You have two of the best teams in the NFC. Probably, no, the two best teams in the NFC, pretty easily. It's going to be fun. You have two elite run defenses. Now, doesn't really matter as much for the Vikings how good they've been, because you're not benching Montgomery or Gibbs anyway. And Dave Montgomery, man, he has been legitimately one of the best running backs in the NFL this season. He's averaging 17 touches per game, 16 per game for Gibbs. He is fourth in the NFL with 8 goal line carries. It just feels like if there's any player in the NFL outside of Derrick Henry right now that is a lock to score a touchdown each week, it's David Montgomery. He's just been so good. So you're starting both running backs. You're starting Amon-Ra. Jared Goff, though, he is very interesting in this spot. We know with Jared Goff, if you can pressure him and get in his face, he can really, really, really struggle. And Minnesota blitzes as much as anybody. We know that. We know that's what Brian Flores wants to do. The problem is, if you don't get home with the blitz, Jared Goff has been awesome against the blitz this season. 72% completion rate, over 12 yards per attempt, and he's second in the NFL in EPA per dropback against the blitz. Vikings blitz 41% of the time, second highest rate in football. So if the Vikings can get home and pressure him on these blitzes, I think Goff could struggle. But if they don't, he could really, really light them up. So that's something, and we know the Vikings defense has been elite this season. So that's something I'm really kind of torn on when ranking Goff, like between guys like Geno Smith, who else is in that range? Honestly, Mahomes, Drake May, Darnold. Like, I got a question in Discord earlier about who I would start at quarterback between Darnold, Geno, and Goff. And I struggled with it. I really did. I think Goff is a, you know, he's playing really well. Like, the last few weeks, he's completing, like, 70% of his pass. Like, something ridiculous. Probably higher than that, actually. So he's playing well. The offense is great. The offensive line is the best in the league. But Minnesota's defense, Brian Flores has been doing unbelievable. So I think, though, saying it out loud, between that question, Geno, Goff, Darnold, I don't know, man. You look at the other side of this game with Darnold. Obviously, he's been playing well this season. What about Sam Darnold this season against man coverage? We know the Lions want to play a lot of man coverage with Aaron Glenn calling the plays. Sam Darnold, second in yards per attempt against man coverage this season at 9.8. 10 touchdowns against man coverage, and he's first in EPA per dropback against man coverage. Justin Jefferson, 40% target share against man coverage. Obviously, you're starting him. Jordan Addison's probably a low-end wide receiver 2, a high-end wide receiver 3 for me in this game. I just don't think the Vikings are going to be able to run the football if Aaron Jones is out. It's kind of that simple. We know only one running back in a regular season game has rushed for 70-plus yards against the Lions since the start of last season, and that was Ken Walker a couple weeks ago. Ty Chandler has been, among qualified running backs, one of the least efficient players in football. And this Lions defense is a pass funnel. 74.7% of the yards against the Lions this year has come through the air. It's the third highest rate in football. If they're without Aaron Jones, I think this team just throws all day long. And that makes Jefferson obviously great, as he always is. That makes Jordan Addison look really good. And it makes me like Sam Darnold quite a bit. So we'll see on Aaron Jones. If he does play, start him. If Ty Chandler starts, he's a low-end flex. You like the probable volume he'll get? He's averaging about 12 fantasy points per game in 5 career games where he's seen at least 15 touches. But he's played the Lions in 2 of those games, I believe, and he was terrible in those games. So definitely tempering expectations for Ty Chandler, even if he does start. Cincinnati at Cleveland up next. Chase Brown coming off a season high, 62% snap share, season high in routes with 20. Played more on early downs to start the game Then we saw Zach Moss lose a fumble early in the third quarter. And after that, Zach Moss had zero touches. And he played, I believe, just two snaps, and they were both third and longs. So this looks like we're finally seeing that shift in the backfield. So, yeah, if you're starting a running back from the Bengals, it's Chase Brown. I think he's a fine flex play. Not the worst second running back either. And, like, if he's starting to play on more passing downs and run more routes, because he's already been starting to eat into the goal line touches from Zach Moss, the difference is Moss has still been dominating the third downs and two-minute drill snaps. If he eats into that a little bit, yeah, it's game over. You're starting Chase, you're starting T. Higgins. T. Higgins, 37 targets since he's made his debut back in week three. Jamar Chase, 31. So he's out-targeted Jamar Chase. You're starting both players, starting Burrow. And for the Browns, obviously, Amari Cooper gone, but looks like Nick Chubb will play, practicing in full. I don't know what the usage will look like. Jerome Ford's probably not going to play with a hamstring. We'll probably see Chubb and Dante Foreman split work. I don't think you have to. I'm not saying you go out and just immediately put Chubb back into your lineup, but I don't think you should be afraid to put him in as a flex either. Like, this team's 1-5. On one hand, you could say, yeah, what's the point of rushing Chubb back and giving him all this work? But, like, if he's healthy and he's good to go, between the way this offense has looked, these fans want to see Chubb play. And the matchup's obviously great. Bengals, 51.3% rushing success rate allowed, worst in the NFL. And then David Njoku is going to be on that tight end one borderline for me. Probably leads his team in targets going forward. And Jerry Jeudy, you still don't love the offense, obviously, but should see a bump in targets as well with Amari Cooper gone. Cooper was getting like 8+ per game, so it's got to go somewhere. I believe we are on to the 4 o'clock games. Actually, I lied. This is a 1 o'clock game. I assumed it was a 4 o'clock game. Seattle at Atlanta. This game is going to be awesome. Especially for fantasy. You have the Falcons right now, according to our pace tool at FTN Fantasy. Fastest pace in the NFL for the Falcons, averaging 24.8 seconds per snap. Seahawks are third at 25.6 seconds. These teams also rank fourth and fifth, respectively, in no huddle rate. So this could be really, really fun. Bijan Robinson finally had the game we've been waiting for last week. 15 carries, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's still splitting a lot of work with Tyler Algier. Like, Bijan Robinson, 20th in the NFL in touches per game, 20th, 17.2. He's 15th in opportunity share. Algier still averaging about 10 touches per game. So, I don't know if we're getting this, like, massive all-world RB1 type of season from Bijan Robinson. Because it may frustrate you, but, like, Tyler Algier is a good player. Like, he deserves some touches. I will say Seattle's defense remains pretty beat up and the matchup's really good. Their run defense has been awful lately. Since week 4, the Seahawks allowing the 4th most yards before contact per attempt, the 3rd highest rushing success rate, and the 4th most adjusted line yards per attempt. And on outside zone concepts in that span, 23 carries, 201 yards, which make up 68.3% of Bijan's carries. That's the highest rate in the NFL. And 62.7% of Algier's carries. That's the second highest rate in the NFL. So, Bijan's a must start. I like Algier this week, too. I really do. I think he's going to get 10 to 12 carries, and he can make the most of them. And he's been out touching Bijan inside the 5-yard line the past couple weeks, too. So, I like both running backs here for the Falcons. Obviously, love what we've been seeing from Drake London. Must start player, obviously. He's been in the slot more this season, career high 39% of the time. He has double-digit targets in 3 straight games. And during that span, 41.4% first read target share. It's one of the highest rates in the NFL. So I've loved everything we've seen from Drake London, who I believe is second in the NFL in receptions behind Chris Godwin. He's been phenomenal. It's been like him, Garrett Wilson, and Godwin, and Brock Bowers. These guys lead the NFL in receptions. London's been amazing. Mooney remains a little bit of a boom-bust wide receiver 3, but this could be a shootout, like I said, with the pace. The defenses could be back and forth, so no problem starting him. For Seattle, Ken Walker, obviously a must-start player. But I want to talk about the pass game usage because this can make him potentially the overall RB1. In the past, it's been doesn't do much in the passing game. And last year, Zach Charbonnet absolutely dominated third downs and two-minute drill work. But since Walker returned in week four, he's second among running backs with 21 targets and second in routes run. So that's unlocking a ton for him. He got a decent amount of work in the two-minute drill against San Fran last week on top of that. So that's amazing. Obviously, we're starting him, starting DK Metcalf. The Falcons have actually, despite having a good corner on the outside and AJ Terrell, they've struggled against wide receivers lately. Deontay last week. Obviously, we saw what Mike Evans did to them a couple weeks ago. They've not been very good against opposing top wide receivers. Metcalf had that crazy game where he had like 11 targets, only caught three passes, had a touchdown call back, had one barely out of bounds. It's just a weird game. But he's still dominating the overall targets. JSN, decent floor. He's not been that good in the games where the Seattle Seahawks haven't had to pass a lot. But the thing is, Geno Smith leads the NFL in pass attempts per game, so they're probably going to pass a lot. So he's a strong wide receiver three, low-end wide receiver two, maybe in full PPR. Lockett, fine flex play. Geno, though, like, can we get some touchdowns? Like I said, leads the NFL in pass attempts per game. The touchdown rate's like 2.5%. It's well below his season, his career average, well below what it's been. It's been ridiculous. They're also not throwing the ball as much inside the red zone in neutral game scripts. But one of these days, Geno Smith, especially if this is a game where he has another 40-plus pass attempts, is going to have the touchdown regression hit, and he's going to have 320 yards and four touchdowns. He's also running the most he's had in his career. So that's helped him. Even on some of these games where he only has one touchdown pass, he's been giving you, you know, a lot more rushing production consistently this season. Looking at it right now, Geno Smith, I'll actually look at his overall game log in terms of rushing. Let's see. So he has at least 30 rushing yards in three games. So not bad. And the Atlanta Falcons allow the most rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. So I like Geno a lot. I like this game a lot. There's so much to like. All right. Let's take a break again. We're at the 40-minute mark, and we still have plenty of games left. Go into the 4 o'clock games right after this. We'll be right back. All right. Carolina at Washington. This is a game where I also want to start as many players as possible. Brian Robinson, if he returns, it's an absolute smash spot. Panthers allowing the most fantasy points per game to running backs. And they've allowed touchdowns to multiple running backs in three straight games. Bijan, last week, 15 for 95 and two touchdowns. Algier in that same game, 18 for 105 and a touchdown. The week before that, Swift had 21 for 73 and a touchdown. And then Roschon scored two touchdowns. And then the week before that, Zach Moss and Chase Brown combined for three touchdowns against the Panthers. So they've been terrible. That makes Eckler, who's, I think, scored double-digit fantasy points in almost every game this season. He's an okay flex play, too. Obviously, he'd be basically a must-start running back if Brian Robinson's out again. He played like 80-plus percent of the snaps last week. Jaden Daniels is starting him. Still second in the NFL in fantasy points per dropback. And Terry McLaurin, you're starting him. Since week three, McLaurin averaging 7.7 targets, 5.2 catches, 79 receiving yards, and 18.2 PPR points per game. And finally, being used deep down the field with that awesome connection between him and his incredible deep ball tracking abilities and Jaden Daniels' elite ball, deep ball passing. From weeks 1 to 2, 33% of McLaurin's targets were behind the line of scrimmage, but since week 3, just 6.5% of them behind the line of scrimmage. So that's been awesome for Terry McLaurin, who is in a great spot again this week. For Carolina, Chuba Hubbard, must-start player. Since week 3, he's 5th in the NFL in touches per game with 22, and he has at least 90 rushing yards in every game during that span. Commanders, you can run on them for sure. 17.7% of the runs against Washington have gained 10-plus yards, second-highest rate in football. And of course, you're starting Deontay Johnson. leads the NFL with 11 end zone targets on the season. Washington's still really bad against opposing top wide receivers. We saw what Zay Flowers did against them last week. And red zone defense, they've struggled. Opponents are scoring touchdowns on 70% of red zone trips against the Commanders. That is one of the lowest or worst rates in the NFL. San Fran and the Chiefs up next. Interesting game. It's not as like exciting for fantasy as we would have thought before the season, just because like the Chiefs offense is kind of meh right now. Like Patrick Mahomes hasn't scored 20 fantasy points in a game this season. He is not a must-start quarterback. I would play Drake May over him. I would play Goff over him. I'd play Geno over him. I'd play, you have been hopefully playing Baker over him. I would play Sam Darnold over him. If Cooper Kupp's back, you could talk me into Stafford. So it does feel like one of these days we're going to see a Mahomes, like vintage Mahomes game, but it's not the way the offense is constructed right now. You know, he's dead last in intended air yards per pass attempt right now, Patrick Mahomes is. In San Fran, it's easy to get away from him right now. Kareem Hunt, probably starting him, stuff to get away from the volume we saw before the bye, 27 carries. This team wants to run the football right now behind that interior offensive line. Maybe we see some Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game. And of course, Samaje Perine's going to still play on third downs, but 18 to 22 touches is probably what you should expect at the minimum for Kareem Hunt. And Juju, like he's in this Rashee Rice role. Wouldn't expect him to have 7 for 130 very often. But like other than Travis Kelce, like where is this offense consistently going in the passing game? It's not going to be Justin Watson. It's not going to be Sky Moore. Xavier Worthy's not commanding a high target share yet. Maybe out of the bye, he gets more involved. He's still a boom-bust flex play, but I don't think it's any doubt you're ranking Juju Smith-Schuster as a top Kansas City wide receiver and probably like a top 35 wide receiver overall. San Fran, Kittle, tight end one. He's been amazing. Chiefs have been awful against tight ends. We'll keep an eye on the backfield. It's a really tough matchup. The Chiefs have been elite against the run this season, especially because they've also played some really good running backs on top of that. Like Derrick Henry, Kamara. Who else have they played? They've been amazing against the run. So if Mason plays, I'm still probably starting him. If he doesn't, I don't think you have to play Isaac Grando. It's a really tough spot, but we'll keep an eye on Mason. He's been limited in practice. Debo probably, like, especially if Mason's out, Debo probably gets like 5 to 7 carries on top of whatever targets he gets. Ayuk, it's been a roller coaster. It's been up and down, but I don't know how you have better options to bench him. I don't see that. So Raiders up next. They are, who are they playing? I just had it. Raiders at Rams up next. Maybe Cooper Kupp's back. That'd be awesome. Obviously, if he is, you start him. Kyren Williams is going to smash in the spot. He scored in every game. They just had a bye. So he is second in the NFL in goal line carries behind Derrick Henry, but he's been getting so many per game. And the Raiders, they can't stop the run. We saw what Najee Harris just did to them. It's going to be a blow-up spot for Kyren Williams. If Kupp is out again, I mean, Jordan Whittington's playing like a massive full-time role if he's good to go. So I have to keep an eye on that. Rams coming out of their bye, obviously. You feel better about Stafford here, too, if Cooper Kupp's good to go. So it's kind of wait and see with the Rams right now. But if, like, you know you're starting Kyren, and if Kupp's back, you're obviously starting him, too. For the Raiders, if Jacoby Myers is good to go, he's a really solid high-end wide receiver 3 based off the volume he should see. The Rams secondary has been bad. It's a team we can attack with wide receivers. So Myers would be a great start. Obviously, starting Brock Bowers, and the backfield is still kind of meh. If you're desperate, I guess it's still Alexander Mattison if Zamir White's out, but I would rather not. Sunday Night Football. Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Devontae Adams, now a member of the Jets. And I think he and Garrett Wilson are probably both like mid-range wide receiver 2s going forward after this trade. Obviously, the rapport with Rodgers and Adams will be there. There's going to be a lot of those back shoulder throws where, like, Rodgers probably doesn't even look to Garrett Wilson. But I don't know. Like, if I told you Aaron Rodgers threw 33 passes in a game, how many do you think go to Adams and Wilson? 20? So, and like, there's been a lot of talk about maybe this is going to help Garrett Wilson with, you know, going against the second best and third best corners and not seeing all this double coverage. It's like teams really don't double cover guys that high of a rate to where I really care. But yeah, I mean, he's not going to have to face Christian Gonzalez and Joey Porter and these guys he's going to face coming up, some of the better corners in the league. And like, yeah, people are like, some people are freaking out about Garrett Wilson. I'm still starting him everywhere. I have him in a league. I'm starting him without even thinking about it. And I liked what we saw from Todd Downing in the first game last week as the OC. Team that, like all Aaron Rodgers teams, doesn't use a lot of pre-snap motion, but they turned it around against the Bills. They used pre-snap motion over 70% of the time last week. And according to the Advanced Stats Hub, Garrett Wilson, he had 3 targets last week with the Jets overall team using pre-snap motion. He had 2 such targets weeks 1-5 combined. So that's good to see. I like Wilson this game too. Leads the NFL, Garrett Wilson does, with 16 targets off slant routes. The Steelers this season have allowed the second most touchdowns with 2, the most yards per target with 10, and the most EPA per target, or the highest EPA per target, off slant routes this season. So starting Garrett Wilson, I'm starting Adams. Rodgers gets a bump as like a high-end quarterback too. And Breece Hall, first game with Todd Downing, he had like 80-something percent of the snaps. It was one of his highest snap and touch shares of the season. So that's good to see. Maybe he doesn't get great passing game usage consistently with Adams back, but obviously still a must-start player. The Steelers, we don't know who the hell is playing quarterback right now. Mike Tomlin said there's a chance that could be Russell Wilson. So who knows? Fields has been pretty good from a fantasy perspective lately, giving some rushing touchdowns. I don't know. Like, I'm just probably avoiding this situation if I can. George Pickens, wide receiver 3, boom bust, tough matchup on the outside. They're going to be without DJ Reed in this game. So it's interesting to see now that they don't have DJ Reed and Michael Carter, their slot defensive back, he could be out again too. And this is a Steelers team that like doesn't have receivers outside of George Pickens. So I really wonder if we see Sauce just follow Pickens in this game. He doesn't typically follow or shadow. He does sometimes, but he's mostly playing on one side. I'm really interested to see that in this game. Najee Harris went off last week. Great matchup. But with Jaylen Warren back, his percentage of the overall carries did go down quite a bit. Jets run defense, it has been bad. So Harris is still a low-end running back too. And I'm not ready to go there with Jaylen Warren just yet. But keep an eye on him. He's probably been dropped in some leagues. I wouldn't mind picking him up. All right, close it out with 2 Monday night games. This one should be awesome. Ravens at Tampa Bay. It's kind of start everybody. You're starting Lamar. He's been amazing. Tampa's defense is not good. Getting a little bit healthier, but still not good. You're starting Derrick Henry, who's been just out of this world. You're starting Zay Flowers because this game's probably going to be competitive. And in any competitive game we've seen from Zay Flowers, 9, 10, 11, 12 targets. I would have liked to see him do more in the second half last week because he had 9 for 132 in the first half and then didn't catch a pass in the second half, but the target share for him has been elite. The scheme touches, he's doing a lot of work on the in-breaking routes. He's been awesome. Good matchup again. As long as this isn't a weird game where like the Ravens get out to a 20-3 lead, Zay Flowers should be a top 15 receiver once again. And Rashad Bateman's quietly playing pretty well, too. Like, I started him at wide receiver, as a third wide receiver in a league where I had bye weeks, and I lost Collins. And he's been solid. So, not even the worst option is Rashad Bateman. Mark Andrews finally scored last week, but still, his route participation is not great. He ran, like, 12 fewer routes than Isaiah Likely last week. I'm still not ready to fully trust him. I get chasing it, I get starting him because tight end sucks, but he's still not getting the usage and the overall route participation and everything we want. So like if he had 2 for you know, 18 yards in this game. I don't think anybody should be surprised. Hopefully it's trending up, but I wouldn't take last week's game as a sign that Mark Andrews is back as a must-start fantasy tight end. And Isaiah Likely still getting like a huge portion of the end zone targets in this offense. For Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, must-start quarterback, top five in fantasy points per dropback, throwing a ton of touchdown passes. He's playing great. You know, a little bit of turnover issues last week, but still, the touchdowns have been awesome. Godwin, probably my best call of the year. He was literally my most drafted player this offseason. He's been better than I even imagined. He looks like Chris Godwin again. Must start, obviously, top 10 wide receiver. Mike Evans. This team doesn't have to have their practice report till today on Thursday because they don't play till Monday. I think we could see Mike Evans limited or something because he left for a little bit last week and then was kind of a part-time player in the second half. So keep an eye on that. I don't think it's anything serious to where he doesn't play. And as long as he's out there, he should smash. I mean, wide receiver ones have crushed the Ravens this season. We saw Terry McLaurin last week. We saw Ja'Marr Chase a couple weeks before. We saw Rashee Rice over 100 yards back in week one. Like, they've been destroyed by wide receiver ones. And they're giving up a ton of explosive plays deep down the field. So that's great for Mike Evans. And we have to wait on the backfield because Bucky Irving and Sean Tucker were both phenomenal last week. Rashad White, I don't think he practiced. He practiced Wednesday and then was downgraded to did not practice Thursday, didn't practice Friday, was ruled out. So we'll have to see. Of course, after the game, the Bucks talk about giving Sean Tucker more work and forming this kind of three-headed backfield, which would be absolute train wreck for fantasy, but it's a terrible matchup anyway. The Ravens are a pass funnel. The run defense has been elite. So if Rashad White's out again, I'm okay starting Bucky. I do think Sean Tucker had like 6 of 14 carries in the final drive, so I still think it's, I don't think it's like a 50-50 thing if Rashad White's out. I think it's more like 65-35 probably in favor of Bucky. So I'd still be okay starting Bucky, but don't expect a ton of great production on the ground against the Ravens. Finally, the second doubleheader, or second part of the doubleheader on Monday night, Chargers, Cardinals. Marvin Harrison Jr. dealing with a concussion, and it's a Monday night game, and it's the second Monday night game, so it's literally the latest game possible. I would try to find backup options. Maybe you can pick up Michael Wilson, who's played well this season, scored last week, has been productive in games with Marvin Harrison Jr. So that'd be my first move, honestly. Try to pick up Michael Wilson, then you can wait it out. Greg Dortch as well, obviously, would be out there. It's been frustrating for Kyler. He's been good on the early drives, and then as the game progresses, this offense has been worse, and they've stalled. The rushing has been up and down. Kyler, I'm still probably starting. Like, if you started Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, those guys over him, totally get it. I might do that too. I'm fine with that, but I still think there's too much upside. I still think he can have a game where he can rush for 75 yards and a touchdown any single moment. James Conner was like a little bit banged up during the game last week, was seen kind of trying to loosen up and jog on the sidelines, and then the game got out of hand, and Trey Benson got a lot of work, and Amari DiMercato got a lot of the work. They said it was game script based, so might see him limited in practice a little bit this week, but sounds like nothing to be alarmed about. So James Conner should play, and he should be in your lineup. And then Trey McBride, he had an awesome game last week. He, if Marvin Harrison's out, he might be tight end one in the week pretty easily. He might have 12 targets. So for the Chargers, Justin Herbert, he played really well last week. He's played pretty good this season. It's just there hasn't been a ton of volume. But good matchup against the Cardinals team that gets absolutely no pressure. Ladd McConkey's playing well. You know, I think Herbert's a, you know, top 15, 16 quarterback for me. Dobbins, man, he looked great. It's another great matchup for him. And since really week three, he is, and like Gus didn't play anyway, but like, I don't think Gus would have been a factor even if he was active, because Dobbins is, I think he had like a career high in touches last week. So they are not holding back with J.K. Dobbins' usage. The offensive line's healthy again, which is great for him. So he's a must-start running back. Ladd McConkey, a viable wide receiver 3. I liked him a lot last week. Game script didn't help. He left the game like twice with injuries, ultimately came back twice. So I still overall like what we've seen from Ladd. And then Quentin Johnson, the boom bust flex play. He has been scoring touchdowns this season, and it's a good matchup. And it's a team that shouldn't get a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert. So we'll see on the Chargers, or the Cardinals end rather, with Marvin Harrison Jr. But Michael Wilson, if you can pick him up, go for it. Greg Dortch, if you can pick him up, go for it. But if you don't have those opportunities to get those guys, or like a Quentin Johnson or somebody, you might have to play somebody in the early games on Sunday or whatever, because we just might not know for Marvin Harrison Jr. But that will do it for me here on Thursday for the Week 7 game-by-game preview episode of the podcast. It's my favorite episode to do every week. I love taking notes for it. I love getting lost in it. So hopefully you like enjoying and listening to it as much as I like putting it together. Always make sure you have a beverage and maybe a snack with you, because it's a long podcast, but the information I think is really, really valuable and can help you out, not just in fantasy football, redraft leagues, but in DFS, betting, etc. Can really help you get a really clear picture on matchups, what to look for, what stands out, and who stands out in these games. So check out ftnfantasy.com. All the great content, tools, rankings, projections, articles, cheat sheets, Discord, you name it, we got it. Basketball right around the corner as well. Great time to lock in, ftnfantasy.com. My name is Adam. Thanks for listening as always. Best of luck in Week 7. Let's try to enjoy this Broncos-Saints game tonight, shall we? Might be difficult, but hey, it's football. We can't complain. Talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Peace out.